All right, now JNC. JNC stands for the Joint National Commission on Heart or on High Blood Pressure, blah, 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 blah. JNC is the government organization that is responsible for studying and making recommendations on the treatment and detection of blood pressure. JNC 7 means the seventh report that they've done. So they've done how many reports? Seven. And seven is the most recent one. Came out, I think, 2004, 2005. So the JNC 7 recommendations for blood pressure. There's like a whole bunch, but it basically boils down to these five principles. First one is the patient should be. All right, so the person should be seated. Their back should be supported, so they shouldn't be like this. So, back supported, arm supported around heart level. All right, now, in the hospital situation, how do we usually take blood pressure? Lying down, or maybe sitting up on the edge of the bed. So their feet are dangling, which doesn't say here, but your feet should be flat on the floor. Person shouldn't be standing up, and they shouldn't be holding up their own arm. Next, we have refrain from smoking or ingesting caffeine, which means coffee, tea, Coke, guarana, green tea extract, at least 30 minutes before taking the blood pressure. They should be resting for at least 5 minutes in a stimulus-free room. So now that's a really tough one. But the idea is, what kind of heart rate are we trying to get, or what kind of blood pressure are we trying to get here? A resting blood pressure. The cuff should be of the appropriate size. We'll show you how to size it in the lab. And then you're not supposed to take one, you're supposed to take two blood pressure readings. Now, if those readings are more than 5 millimeters different, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're always supposed to average them. But if they're more than 5 millimeters apart, you're supposed to do it 2 or 3 more times and then average all of those together. So these are the correct ways to take a blood pressure. Now, the very first time you ever meet a patient, you know what you're supposed to do with them? Take the blood pressure in which arm? Both. You're supposed to take the blood pressure in both arms and then use the arm that is higher. And then you should use that arm for the rest of the time. So when a patient first comes in the hospital, ideally, you would measure both arms. Now, there are some people who have conditions where you should not take a blood pressure in that arm. And those two conditions, one is if they have a stent or if they have a shunt. Those are going to be patients who have kidney conditions, so usually on dialysis. The other type of patient is a patient who's had lymph node removal, and that's typically going to be women who've had mastectomies on that side. Now, if a woman's had a mastectomy on both sides, then what do? Use the leg. All right, so here's a picture of a correct blood pressure. So, seated, feet are supported, back is supported, arm is supported at heart level. Notice that she is facing the meter. Now, how many of you have ever driven in a car where you're the passenger? And you look over and it looks like they're doing like 80. And you're like, how come you're going so fast? And they're like, I'm not. I'm really only going 70. It's because your perspective is different because you're not looking at the dial head on. So when you take a blood pressure, you want to make sure that the dial and you are head on. All right. Sources of error. So ways you can screw things up. If the back is not supported, that can be 6.5 millimeters difference. That's enough to make someone have high blood pressure who didn't otherwise. Arm position, dependent, affected by gravity versus supported at heart level, can be about 10 millimeters systolic, 12 millimeters diastolic. Something we call the auscultatory gap. This is a strange thing. When you pump blood all the way up, when you pump the pressure all the way up till blood is completely stopped, what do you hear? Nothing. As blood flow begins to return, what happens? you hear noises. Sometimes the noise will disappear and then come back. We call that the auscultatory gap. Now, what happens if you were just unlucky and you pumped the blood, you pumped up the cuff until it was in that auscultatory gap range? What would you hear when you first started listening? Nothing. And then the sounds would come back and you would have an artificially low blood pressure because you're measuring from the auscultatory gap instead of where it's supposed to be. Not really sure, but it typically happens in people who have high blood pressure.
So, how
do you know? What did we learn how to do yesterday? What kind of pressure? Palpated pressure. Palpated pressure is immune from auscultatory gap. So the correct way to take a blood pressure is the first time you pump it up, you do palpated. Then you go 30 millimeters higher than that palpated pressure. And that's how you're supposed to avoid the auscultatory gap. Next is the quality of stethoscope. One of the reasons why we recommend that you purchase a quality stethoscope. Another one is the clinician bias towards the subject. If I think that you're going to have high blood pressure because you just look like you're stressed out, I might have a tendency to hear higher numbers. If you look overweight, and I think overweight people are more likely to have high blood pressure, I might hear higher numbers. If I looked in the chart and I saw that your blood pressure was low last time, I might hear lower blood pressures. So we call this the clinician's bias. The other is the clinician's mood. Am I in the mood to deal with abnormal blood pressures right now, or am I in a hurry and I don't want to deal with it, so I'm going to hear normal so I can just move on? And finally, we have what we call terminal digit bias. Terminal digit bias can occur, what really is when people round up or down. Some people were taught a long time ago, whatever number you measure, round that up or round that down to the nearest zero. That's going to introduce a lot of error. What you're supposed to do is try and be as precise as possible. Now, most of the dials only have even numbers, which means that you should only record even numbers if that's the kind of dial you have. Got it? So these are sources of error. All right, why should you care, though? Go ahead, why should you care? All right, let's say that you missed 5 millimeters of error. And instead of recording 95 diastolic, you recorded 90 diastolic. Well, that person would no longer have high blood pressure. Now they'd be normal. You would have missed about 20 million people who have hypertension. 20 million people. Over the next 6 years, 125,000 of those would die of heart disease. Congratulations. Now, treating those would have saved 50,000 lives. You're a hero. Well, you would have been. Now, on the other hand, if you do the opposite, if you hear 5 millimeters high, so now instead of hearing 85, you heard 90, you just gave 27 million people false diagnoses. 27 million, that's a lot of people. That's even more than you missed. Now, it's going to take about $1,000 to treat those people each year. What do you think that just did to your insurance premium? It went up. What do you think that did to your taxes for Medicare? Went up. So that's about $27 billion per year that you just caused in false health care coverage and treatment. Now, again, why should you care? Hypertension causes 80% of renal failure. Treatment of people with high blood pressure delays that renal failure by about 4.5 years. So 1 year of dialysis costs $50,000 a year. So that's a potential saving of $250,000 per patient who is treated early with high blood pressure. Whew. Think blood pressure measurement's important? So, given that it's so important, Who do you think is responsible for taking these blood pressures? Doctors, right? No? Not nurses either? Who? Yeah, the people with the lowest amount of education in the hospital are the people who are actually doing these blood pressure checks. So, sure that they're being done correctly. One of the things that professional nurses are responsible for is being a mid-level or low-level manager. It's your job to manage the techs and unlicensed personnel who are helping provide patient care at the hospital. You need to make sure that they are taking blood pressures correctly. If you think there's a problem, recheck it by yourself. Any questions about that? All right. Now, seven national surveys. They looked back at some studies, some big research studies, things that influence the way we practice medicine and practice healthcare. What they found was that surveys in these countries had horrible reading errors. Everything from terminal digit bias, which can potentially cause up to 9 millimeters of inaccuracy, direction bias, which means that you always go one direction, always hear high or always hear low, falsification of data. Whew, I thought it was supposed to be a research study, but we just made up numbers. Failure to follow proper protocol for calibration and actual measurement of blood pressure. So what does that do to those research studies? Makes them kind of worthless, or at least suspect. All right, so some refining, defining resources. We have the AHA Human Blood Pressure Determination by Sphygmomanometry. It's a document you can download off the AHA website as a PDF. We have the National High Blood Pressure Education Program, Working Meeting on Blood Pressure Measurement, and the National High Blood Pressure Education Program, JNC7. These two are published by the National Institutes of Health, National Heart, Lung, Blood Institute. You can download them off their website if you're really interested, or you can just take my word for it. Choice is yours. All right. Now, how many of you have ever been to Jupiter Hospital? Okay, at Jupiter Hospital, when you want to take a blood pressure, what you have to actually do is put the stethoscope on and pump up the cuff and really listen. But at other hospitals, they have automated devices. So when you want to take a blood pressure, you don't necessarily have to listen. You could just slap on the automatic device and hit start. Now, what you need to know is a little bit about those devices. There's basically two types of devices. First one is auscultatory, which has a little electronic microphone, and it listens for carotid cough sounds just like you do. The other kind is called oscillometric, and it has a vibration measurement. And what it does is it measures vibrations of turbulence in the artery. Now, auscultatory measures systolic and diastolic just like you do. Oscillometric measures mean arterial pressure and then tries to calculate systolic and diastolic from that. So when you're using an oscillometric machine, what's going to be the most accurate number? The mean arterial pressure. Because it's measuring this directly, when you use an oscillometric machine, this is going to be the most accurate number. These will be less accurate. When you're dealing with an auscultatory, what's going to be the most accurate number? Systolic and diastolic.